Hallelujah. You may be seated. Children may go to their classes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Power of your name, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight is a special night. I have four mighty men and women of God. They're going to come up here tonight and share and open their hearts about unity. Each one of them is going to be different in their own way. Unique. I feel in my heart, I felt this. I was praying about it beforehand, and those four people came into my heart, and I just felt to have them come. Some of them were surprised and like, what? Yeah. But you know what? It's an opportunity for us. I believe in every one of you. And get ready. I might ask every one of you to share something. Amen. But tonight is a special day for me. Because it is the day that God brought forth the birth of this young lady right here, Kelly. Her young birthday, yes. And 28 years ago, I married her today on her birthday. I was the best present she ever had. Happy birthday, man. And I do this, give her the same present every year, just me. But I believe that this is the reason why I felt this too, is because this, I'm reminded of this because of what unity is. And there has to be unity for make it work for 28 years. You got to have unity. A house divided will fall. But when there's oneness, something happens. And you can't wait for the next 28 more. You're not just getting by. But you're excited about it. And I believe with all my heart that I want that reflection to be in this house. That there be a unity and a oneness with us that causes us to stand. A stickability, my dad used to say. Stickability. That you stick with one another. Things get tough. You make one another mad. Things aren't always perfect. But you're bound together with something. Hallelujah. That's in the spirit. You're surrounded. You're one with God. So I just want tonight as we gather together. Thank you, praise team. As they come forth, and it was no particular order, but I had to do an order. So, Randy was the first straw to pull. So I'm going to have Randy come up here and share, and I just want everybody just to give them your attention and just receive what they have. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, when Pastor Chris first told me he wanted me to get up front and speak, I'm like, "Are you sure about that? It's not my forte at all." And then he said, "Well, I don't want you to preach a sermon or anything." It's like, "Oh," it's like, "Well, you can if you want to." So I only have 4 pages of notes. So no, just kidding. I will be brief. But what God laid on my heart, and I've been thinking about it since Pastor Chris asked me to do it, is what does unity mean? What is Christian unity? You know, and I looked online, I did some Bible studying, and what I come up with is that, you know, unity in and of itself is not good or bad. We tend to think of unity as being something that is, oh, we're in unity. This is good, you know, but unity in and of itself as a concept is neither good nor evil. We can be good. We can have unity for example, we could say our church has always been a come-as-you-are kind of church. But if we unify behind the concept that, well, we need to have a dress code, you know, so that we have, you know, a certain, you know, we just want a certain appearance within our church. We want to have, you know, we want everybody to be dressed just a certain way, you know, to provide a good appearance when people come into our church. You know, and we all just get behind that and say, well, this is what we need to do. Well, I think we all can agree that's a bad kind of unity. That's not inclusive. That's not what God would want us to be do. However, on the other side, we just recently aligned ourselves with Compassion International to support another Christian organization that supports the upkeep, the day-to-day needs and education and welfare of disadvantaged children in foreign countries. And we, as a church, we've unified behind that concept of sponsoring a child ourselves and giving other people in the church a chance to partake in that and to maybe sponsor a child on their own if that's what God lays on their heart. That's a good kind of unity. So unity in and of itself can be good or bad. So that's kind of what I wanted to speak on, you know, as to Christian unity. What does that look like? And what I found is that Christian unity in the New Testament gets its goodness from a combination of basically four things. Its source, its views, its affections, and its aims. Those are basically the four things I found basically define what unity means. What is the source of our unity? What unifies us? And what is that unity centered upon? It should be Christ. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of God, of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, our goal should be to be unified in Christ as the source of that unity, unified around Christianity, around the example that Christ gives, and it says to be unified in the Spirit in the bond of peace. Also in 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So our unity should be centered around Christ. That should be the source that we draw from. And what unites us is a common love and following of Christ. Now, as to views, what are our views about Christianity within the church, and what way do those views unify us? So how do our views about unity and about Christianity and about the church, how does that unite us? Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2 speak about imitating Christ's humility. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. One spirit and one mind. Unified. So it says that, that would make his joy complete to see the church adopt that. That would make his joy complete to see the church unified in one mind, one heart, one spirit. So I think that is a very important part of unity for the church, that we are maintaining the right views about unity. And affections. To be sure, unifying love in the body of Christ includes a solid commitment to do good for the family of God, whether you feel like it or not. And a lot of times we don't. You know, it's not always easy to be unified. You know, Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." But as difficult as it can be for a diverse group of people within the church, the experience of Christian unity, is more than that. It includes affectionate love, not just sacrifice, for those that we don't like. It's not always easy to be unified and to be kind and have a Christian attitude toward people that we don't like. But God calls us to love everyone. You know? It's a feeling of endearment that we are to have affection for those who are our family in Christ. That's all Christians. Maybe not everyone follows the same doctrine we do, you know. Maybe not everyone worships the same way we do, you know. But they're all part of the body of Christ. We're all unified in one body, you know. The Bible says, I don't have a chapter verse for this, but, you know, not everyone can be an eye. Not everyone can be an ear, you know. Not everyone can be a foot, you know. Because, you know, if we were all a foot, you know, how would you pick anything up? You have no hand. How would you see? You have no eye, you know? So that's all part of unity. But it's actually pretty easy to have unity with the people that in your own church. You know, you attend the same church. You listen to the same pastor every Sunday or every Saturday in our case, you know? And hopefully you're following the same vision within the church. You know, you have a common vision and you're following that vision. But even within the church, we let petty differences divide us. Differing views on doctrine, differing views on social media and social trends. People who I know are committed Christians post some pretty shocking things on social media at times. And like I said, I know it's no reflection of their Christianity, but we don't always think about what we're posting before we post it. And I myself have been guilty of making comments and getting into arguments with people online, and I've really tried to back away from that. You know, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And so I try, and even if I feel I'm right, try to just tone it down and just let it go, you know. And I think we need to be careful of that. You know, we can't allow those differences to interfere with the unity of the body. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." So, and the last thing is aims. What are the aims of our unity? That basically takes to Christian unity within the church should have two basic aims: witness to the world and the acclamation of the glory of God. Our unity should say those two things. It should be a witness to the world. Our unity should show the world what our commitment to God is, and that unity should also proclaim the glory of God. That we should be unified in the acclamation and the glorifying of God. The first of these is addressed in John 13, 34 and 35, where it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, and you are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, and you have one love, you have one love for one another." And also in John 17:21, it says, "That ye may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Well, that was Christ saying that, but saying that that's what He and the Father and the church should be unified in one body and one mind to the glory of God. That in the world should see it as our witness to the world, and how we represent that. And the second of these aims is spoken of in Romans 15, 5 through 7, which says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Everything we do in the church, we should be unified in the goal of bringing glory and praise and honor to God in all that we do. That's why we're here. You know, we sing songs and we praise God and, you know, we worship, but our purpose for being here is to be unified in glorifying Christ and bringing glory and honor to His name. I personally would be the last person that I would send someone to for advice or help, you know, with, you know, if they're having a problem in the church, you know, or in a problem in their Christian life. I just don't see myself that way, as being that person that someone would come to for advice. However, Melissa and I were sitting at home last Saturday night, and it's like 5 to 12, and my phone rings, and it's a friend of ours. They're a Christian friend, but we keep in touch on social media, but we don't really talk. It's probably been a couple years since I saw them face to face, and they called me up and said, I'm having an issue. I'm having a dilemma, a crisis of faith, and I really need your help. And they thought of Melissa and I to call. It's like of all the people that they know, they thought of us to call. And I don't, not by any virtue of myself, but that she said that we were the ones that she thought of. And we talked till 3 o'clock in the morning. Talk about, you know, she had something really disheartening happened to her in the church. You know, someone that they should have been able to trust dealt them a pretty serious blow, and they were confused as to what they should do. And they called us for help. And absolutely no virtue of to me or Melissa, but what it said to me is that's also, they don't come to our church, you know. Don't see them much, but they're committed Christians, and they're part of the body. They're part of the body, and we support them just as much and just as stridently, you know, and as just as much a heartfelt commitment as anyone in the church, because they're an extended part of the body of Christ. And it honored me that they would think of us as someone that they would come to for advice, you know. And when as I'm talking to her, that's what struck me, that this is what unity is about, you know, that you lean on one another, regardless of where you're from, where you're going, because we should all be on the same road together and unified in the body. And that's what I have.
Amen. That was great. I appreciate that. Now, Brother Bill. Amen. Come on, let them know you love them.
Well, Randy said everything I was going to say, so. No. Actually, I don't know if you realize this or not, but When you make somebody do something that they are really uncomfortable with, it makes them grow. And you're stretching me in the right direction. But it's interesting, Randy, of all the scriptures that you had, none of them were the ones I picked. So, anyways, Colossians 3, 13 and 14. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which brings them all together in perfect unity. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question and be honest with me. When you're growing up or over the years, have you ever been so angry with your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, or your son or your daughter that you just wanted to spit nails? Is there anybody that never felt that way? I didn't think so. Okay, how about husbands and wives? Have you ever been so angry at your spouse that you just thought, what am I getting into? I don't think anybody can say that they never felt that way. And the same's with church. How many people have been offended by your brothers and sisters in church? I can think back when I was in high school. That's when guys wore long hair. And they used to have us high school kids take the offering. And one kid's hair was a little too long, so they told him he couldn't take the offering. So we all refused to take the offering. But we were offended because they said he couldn't take the offering. I've been in churches where the pastor offends people, not knowingly, not on purpose. Okay, a lot of people want to talk to the pastor after the service. But, you know, there's people who think, oh, I try to get up there and talk to him, but he's talking to somebody else and I can never get to see him. But, you know, that's not his fault. And I know he tries to get around and talk to everybody. But I've seen it in churches where people get upset about that. I had a dear friend. He was about 20 years older than me. I got him to come to our church. He came for about 4 weeks. And he said, I'm not going there anymore. I said, well, why? What's the matter? He said, you guys don't sing hymns. I love to sing hymns, and you guys don't sing them. So your church isn't for me. So there's a lot of things. Oh, and there's one more. There was a guy I went to church with. He was very affluent, and he gave a lot of money. And he wanted his daughter to play the keyboard. Well, she was only 14, and she was not very good. So that didn't last very long. He got mad, left the church. So, you know, if you fight with your brothers and sisters and those closest to you, you're going to fight with or have arguments with people in the church. But in Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't do it in publicly. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. Now, hopefully, when I walk out of here, there won't be a line of people wanting to talk to me. Psalms 133:1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And I had another scripture, Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I think when Pastor Valentine was here, he touched on this, that the church has to be in unity in order to receive the higher things of God. And I think about the story of Achan's sin. The Israelites, they went out and destroyed Jericho, and they weren't supposed to keep any of the plunder. And Achan stole some gold, and they went and tried to capture the city of, I think it's pronounced Ai, and they were soundly defeated. And they came back, and prayed about it. And God said, hey, you know, somebody among you is not in unity. There's sin in the camp. So God was not going to give them the victory because they weren't in unity. So, as far as unity, not everyone's called to do the same thing. And that's why, you know, we can't have 25 keyboard players, or everybody can't be a teacher. We need to use our talents, though. I think of the parable of the talents where there were three slaves and their rich master gave five talents to one, three talents to the other, and one talent to the other, and said, take care of this while I'm gone. And the one with five invested it, or maybe it's two. The one with five invested it and doubled his money. The one with two invested it and doubled his money. The third one was afraid, so he took his talent, he buried it, and when the master came back, he rewarded the two that invested, and the one that just hid his talent, he threw him in prison. So, you know, it makes me think, if you don't use the talents God's given you, you're probably going to lose them. Let's see. I guess that's everything I have.
Amen. Hallelujah. They're just flowing together. Amen. Now, my sister Beth. Come on.
Unity. Well, of course there's going to be some overlap with scriptures and such, but that's because we're in unity. Many years ago, because I've been around a long time, I sang in a trio, and one of the other members of the trio was Karen Hamrick, who many of you know. She's always here with us in spirit until she can be with us in she'll be at the breakfast tomorrow, but because of her disability, it's hard for her to get up here. We are still in unity after all these years. The other one, he just kind of went a different way, serving the Lord, I'm sure. But unity, that was what we called ourselves. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That was one that Brother Bill. Behold how good and pleasant, this is what God says, for brothers to dwell together in unity. Unity is defined as the state of being united or joined as a whole. The state of being united or joined as a whole. The quality or state of not being multiple, being one. That's unity. I believe that sometimes unity comes naturally. And sometimes, most of the time, it takes a lot of work. And I think God planned it that way. Really. God's perfect example of unity is marriage. When we get married, the Bible tells us we become one. But it doesn't always feel that way, does it? No. They say that women are from Venus, men are from Mars. We're different, right? We are different. Physically, obviously, different. Emotionally, okay, don't look at Kelly. Okay, we as women are okay. Maybe a little, no, I'm not going to say mentally. But we come together because we have some things in common. And then you have to work on it. It's a process. It is a process, right? Everything in life. Our Christian walk is a process. But love. Love is what keeps us together. We need to be willing to listen, compromise, and make changes. And that is what brings unity. So those of us who have been married many years and weathered storms if we stick with it, then we become stronger. And eventually we come to see that what we have is what God intended it to be in unity. Colossians 3:14, this is the Amplified, so it's a little different than what you had read, Bill. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love. Unselfish. That's hard. Which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks what's best for others. When we put what we want aside and try to put the other person, whether we agree with them or not. And this isn't just in marriage. I'm talking about Christian unity, too. Now, spiritual unity. Just because we worship the same church doesn't necessarily mean that we're in unity. I'll tell you what. I believe we are in unity. We're different. Look around. There are men. There are women. There are differences in race. There may be differences in political views. We're different, but we come together, putting our differences, we need to put differences aside or talk them through. First, the first thing is our belief that God is a Father. This is what's most important and the basis of unity. God is a Father. Jesus is His Son. Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, and He saved us from our sins. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our guide. That's first and foremost. And if you don't believe in that, you need to have a talk with Pastor Chris. Okay. Just because we believe that doesn't make us of like mind in a lot of other ways. The beautiful thing about spiritual unity is that it's God that brings it about. If we have love for one another and we allow God to move in us, then that... And I wanted to say about a beautiful example of what the girls did the other night, Wednesday night. If you weren't here, there was an illustration that led to unity. There was Lexi and there was Kristen. And first of all, I have to say, in the natural, they're two very different personalities. Lexi's just right out there, and Kristen's a little more shy and reserved. But they're friends. They're friends. They love each other. And I'm sure they have, maybe don't agree with each other on everything, but anyway, Lexi was cooking something for us. I never did find out what it was because we were supposed to eat it, but I never got anything. She was cooking, and she sent Kristen to the store. And Kristen came back with table salt, or sea salt, not table salt. And Lexi was not happy. And Kristen brought sage, and Lexi says that nobody likes sage. Well, I like sage in my stuffing. But anyway, they were bickering, and their leader came up. This is a key. Their leader came up, and she started talking to them about, now, is this what... You love each other. You're friends. Is this what God would have us to do? And it all turned out just beautifully. But what I want to say is this is important, too. If we have disagreements, and I'm not talking just about, I'm talking major disagreements among someone else in the church, and you can't work it out, go to your pastor. Get his wisdom, right? Or your teacher, if you're... Okay, here's an example. This is kind of silly, but some people have disagreements over silly things. I have a couple of friends. One is here, and one is not. They like gray skies, and snow, and ice, and bare trees. They love winter. Right, Kate? You know, it's like, I'm sorry, I love blue and green and flowers and sun on my face. I do not agree with them, but I love them to death. We even like, even on Facebook, kind of go banter a little bit. But I love them. I don't really care what season they like. But as silly as that sounds, families have been split, friendships have been severed because of stupid disagreements. Stupid disagreements. And I've heard so many times, years later, when one of those individuals is asked, what was it that split you apart? They don't remember. I've heard of families splitting apart because of political differences. They won't have Thanksgiving dinner together, okay? But there are stupid things. There are also major differences, and those are the things that we have to work at. But the key is love. Love, forgiveness. If we have love, then we can work on it and agree. Ephesians 2:14 reads, "For he himself is our peace and our bond of unity. He who made," and Randy read this, "both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one body." Jews and Gentiles. If he can make Jews and Gentiles into one body, right? Then, and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall of spiritual antagonism, or that's opposition, between us. If he did that for Jews and Gentiles, then he did that for us, regardless of gender, race, financial status, political differences. Okay. And the last scripture is this, Ephesians 4:12-13. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip." There are fivefold ministry. He gave us the fivefold ministry, all different, but all coming together to unite, to minister. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and to become mature. And that's something I wanted to stress. We are all at different stages of maturity. We can't expect a new Christian, a young Christian, to be at the same level. So that's why we have to have patience and love. And I do want to, before I just tell a story, I wasn't going to, but someone, a person in my life who, again, many, many, many years ago, he was one person who hurt me more than anybody ever did. But the most important thing is wasn't so much how he hurt me, but he hurt the people that I love the most. And it was just a long thing, you know, that went on and on and on, and horrible, terrible things were said and done. Okay, but coming to present, I forgave that a long time ago because I asked God to. I did it for me, not for him. And I see him from time to time. And actually, we kind of deal with it because we kind of use a little sarcasm and joke. But recently, he said to me, when I saw him, he said, he admitted that there were things that he had done that were wrong. And he said, "I was the scum of the earth to do what I did to these ones who I love so much." And I said, "You know, I forgave you a long time ago. You have to now forgive yourself." Now, I don't know if he's serving the Lord. I don't know. But forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important. If we allow ourselves to forgive for ourselves, then we can see miracles happen in relationships. Okay.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, each one of them didn't think they had something to say, and they all got something to say. Amen. Brother David, our final speaker. Amen. Come on, buddy.
All right, hello everyone. All right. I have a long sermon prepared. I hope no one has anything to do tomorrow morning. I'm just kidding. Okay, so just real quick, I want to talk about my life the last few months. I've been away. I've been away a lot. I've missed all of you. I really have. It's so good to be back, and, you know, I have. I've been away. And when I say, like, I've been working constantly. I've been down south. I've been doing this and that. And it's been rough, you know. I feel disconnected. I feel like, I'm lonely. You know, I miss my friends, my family. So anyway, there was this thing that I wrote about on Facebook, okay, and it was called Communication and Affection, okay, and so I wrote it, and what it has to do with basically is I believe that God is all that God expects from me is a relationship, right? Okay, so everything that a relationship should be, honesty, you know, faithfulness, communication, and you know, like that, I always pick on Randy and Melissa, right? Communication is important to a healthy relationship, right? Okay, so this is what I thought. And in the communication aspect, I wake up every morning and I read a meditation and I pray. And throughout the day, I say some prayers. You know, I keep a conscious contact with God. But I feel like God is giving me the cold shoulder. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I just feel like you're not listening to me, man. You're not, like, helping me and making this easy for me. I have to fight and I have to work. And I just feel like you're not there. And so then I started thinking of how in a relationship, okay, if let's say, like, I talk to Allison every day, you know, and let's say, you know, a day goes on and we talk, but I don't show her affection. I don't give her flowers, or I'll get you flowers, I promise. But if I don't do those things, I may get the cold shoulder, right? And then I start thinking, okay, what is lacking in my relationship with God? And it has to do with showing Him affection, right? And how do I show affection? I sing. I play guitar. I praise God. And, you know, that I think was kind of the missing link there. It was like, I am not showing God my affection. And how do I do that best? Other than singing, I live accordingly. I treat other people the way that I would want to be treated. You know, I reach out and I help others. And, you know, that makes, like, a big difference. So whenever you had asked me to speak, I said, it was like, okay, yeah. But I had no idea there was a topic involved. And so I was like, okay. So then when he says it's unity, I'm like, all right, well, I'm a member of a 12-step program, and unity, you know, is a topic that we talk about a lot. So, you know, sure, I have a lot to say about unity. And so then everyone gets up and speaks, and they're all, like, pulling out the verses that I was going to talk about and this and that. And, of course, my first thought is, oh, man, like, now what do I talk about? But then very quickly, my thought process changed to, okay, I'm on the right track. You know what I mean? That's how I felt. I was like, okay, I'm on the right track. So when Randy first, I mean, everyone did a great job. Thank everyone, really. It's been a great night. It really has. And so when he starts talking about it, it's in the book of Ephesians. So I go back and I start reading, and thank you for asking me to speak, because it forced me to get into my word, which I've been very busy and lacking, you know. So in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, right? And he's in jail. He is in prison, which I can relate with. I've been in prison, right? And but the thing is, like, he had unwavering faith, you know? Like, he was not down. He wasn't in there, like, God, get me out of here. Please help me. Do that. No. He was content to be where he was at, and he used that as a jumping point to write letters and try and move Jesus's message, right? So, and then I start thinking, like, how cool would it have been to see him, like, walking around the yard, you know, like Andy Dufresne, Shawshank Redemption. He walked around with a smile on his face all the time, you know, dropping the rocks out of his pocket. It was like he had a secret that no one else knew. And Paul had unwavering faith, so he knew, you know. And he's telling the church, and I pulled this thing out. in my Bible what says this, and I thought it was really, really great. He says, in his letter, Paul revealed God's plan, okay, for his church. It is that believers be united in purpose, to form a body that demonstrates the truth of the gospel to the world, and is equipped and empowered to do spiritual warfare, to confound and overthrow evil. Okay? And I felt like that was really, really deep, you know? Like our purpose is to confound and overthrow evil, and to be unified as a body, you know, and to carry the message. And so, all right, let me see here where I'm at. Okay, so unity, the opposite of unity, can we agree, is division? Does that sound right? Like divided, okay? And I don't know if anyone, did you see what Brian Tunstall put on Facebook about the, it was by Wade Taylor, but he posted it, and it was about the politician and the prophet. Okay, and I can't quote it word for word, but it was really, really great. It was powerful. I read it, and just a couple times I read it to some other people, and he talked about how the politician finds out what way the majority is leaning towards, and then he takes that stance and he says, come, follow me, I will lead you, right? And the prophet stands alone and says to the people, you're going the wrong way, I know you want to go over there and you want to do that, but this is the right way, follow me. And I was just blown away by that, because that's how it is today, you know what I mean? We don't unify. People divide us. And we're constantly like waging war and fighting and just internal spiritual battles too, with drug addiction and alcoholism and just selfishness, you know. And I really thought that was really, really great. I believe that, you know, working on our own personal relationship with God should be, you know, first. Before we unify, we need to be sure where we're at, you know. And I believe that living through the spiritual principles that Jesus taught, like Beth was talking about, forgiveness and patience and love. You know, it's all about those principles that Jesus taught, you know, and that's how we develop relationships. And together we unify. And so like tonight, I got an example. Here's an example. So there's this construction crew, okay, and the construction crew is building a building or whatnot. And, you know, the foreman said, this is the plans. This is how we're going to do it. We all have a common purpose. We all have a goal. And then you have your job, and you have your job, and we're going to do it like this. But then the people go aside, and, well, I think I could do it better if we do this. And then I think we could do it. And then everyone does their own thing, and it doesn't work, you know, if we're not unified to do it. And another example I thought of, it was pretty good, but... Like in the way I was talking about how the enemy uses us being divided to attack, like a division of people. And so like you've watched horror movies, right? Like Friday the 13th, right? Or Halloween. And you know the famous, like, let's split up. Do you know how they say that? Let's split up. And then one by one, they're picked off because they did not unify. They did not stay together. Am I right? So I want to tell another story too. So last week I went and I helped Storm Services. Okay, I don't know if you've heard this, but so the government funds a friend of mine to come in when there's storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, ice storms, and there was power outages. So all of Butler County pretty much was without power, and there was a lot of Katanning. Like we drove through Katanning and Sheets was dark. Like the power lights were out, everything. So our job, the government contracts us to set up a mobile kitchen, and what we do is we cook food for all the utility workers and the linemen. And so what we do is, you know, it's long, long hours. I mean, my alarm went off at 3:45 some mornings, and I felt bad because Allison had to get up and take me in a few days. And then so breakfast is at like 5, and then dinner's at 6:30. We're not done till 11. You know, 10:30, 11 at night. So I mean, I put in some hours, and let me tell you, I was tired, and so I went into it with this sense of like this purpose of, you know, I'm doing something good. You know, I'm helping these people eat. You know, so they can restore the power to all these other people, and it was a good feeling. And you know, yeah, my motives were, yeah, I need a paycheck, I need money to live on, but it was more than just that. You know, it was helping, and. So we're all tired and we're down. Everyone's just miserable because they've been up for 2 hours a night, or only slept 2 hours a night for a week. So everyone was just real mean and snippy and yelling and just mean with each other. And so we're packing these bag lunches, okay, and it was beef brisket and chicken sandwiches. And the lady starts writing B on the beef bag, and she writes the whole word chicken. I don't understand why you didn't just write a B and a C, but she writes the whole word chicken, and it's slowing everything down, and everyone's getting all chaotic. And I said to her, I was like, write young chick on the bag. Just write young chick. And she's like, I'm not doing that. And I was like, just do it. Just do it. So she did it, and then everyone started laughing. And then people start calling out other things. It got a little risky there. I mean, people were like, write young chick. So then this bag said young chick. Then the next one said, like, bad chick or one-legged chick or big chick. Like, and so anyway, they keep writing. And then everyone in the kitchen starts calling out different things. And they all start laughing. And so these bag lunches go out to the tent. And then I hear the workers. They all start laughing. And, oh, what's yours say? Oh, I got a young chick. Look, I got a, you know. And it was overwhelming that little thing seemed to, like, unify our whole crew. It boosted morale. And everyone was just happy and had just a better day of it. And it was incredible. It was a very good experience. And I'm glad that I did. So then I think everyone said Psalm 133, and I think it's great. I really do. Here, let me go here. And, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. And that verse right there is powerful to me. I want to read this thing in my Bible here. Of course, an immediate relative, but also secondarily, any fellowman, countryman, or companion. Although we often greet one another, hi, brother, or hi, sister, we have failed to grasp the full significance of what these words really mean. That is, that other Christians are literally our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We have been born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are each a part of God's family, and we should treat each other with the respect, love, and honor that befits other members of the church. And I thought that was really powerful, too, because it is, like Beth said, it is all about love. And I think that if we all do, you know, we all have different callings and whatnot. Praise and worship is just something that I feel I'm called to do. And, you know, God gave me these gifts to basically return to Him, to give to Him. And it's just an awesome thing, like, to just feel that. I don't know if you guys felt when we were singing that last song, man, it was powerful. Like, I felt it. I choked up. I couldn't sing. It was just incredible, that tingling sensation all through your body. And I think that, you know, like they said, our mission is to confound and overthrow evil. And I liked Bill said it too about what Apostle Valentine said when he was here, is for God's grace to penetrate deep into the church. You know, we do have to be unified. We do have to act as one. And I'm just so grateful for the chance to come and talk and see everybody. I'm so glad to be back. That's all I have.
Amen. Well, that was all tremendous. Amen. I believe that is the most powerful thing. And the next scripture on that, it says that it comes together. It's like the ointment that flows down Aaron's beard. And the last part says this. It's where God commands blessing. That's the only place in the scripture it says that. Where that there's a commanded blessing. And here's what I mean by this. I want us to get this. That no matter where you are, that unity isn't something. When you come together, it's like even not even good or evil. But no matter what, it's so powerful because God commands His blessing in it. Listen, I want you to get this. That when it's unified, there's not much that can break it, whether good or bad. People believe in things that are unified in it that are evil. But yet when you come in the Spirit of God, unified in the oneness of His name, that blessing that's there is powerful. And you know that scripture says this. It says that it isn't something you don't keep or you don't create unity. You keep unity. So just out of everything that everybody says, that's something that we got to understand, that this isn't something that we just try to create. This is something we keep because we have it. You keep it and you hold it. I want you to look at it and think, I thought about this the other day when I was in the prison, not because I'm working there. But I'm in there and I started thinking about something. I started thinking about how that, man, they're all in unison. Everybody. The world puts these people in this one place, put the same clothes on them. They had the same shirts, same socks, same shoes, everything. They look the same. They eat the same food, and they eat it all together. But yet they're not united. It's not something that you can create. It's something you keep. So I just want us to just continue to take hold of those words and just, as David said, there's something powerful in this song. Would you stand with me? There's something powerful in this song. And I just want us just to take this part right here before we go downstairs to celebrate Mimsy's and Kelly's birthday. And come together and just stand and just be strengthened by these words. And understand that we fight our battles in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who brings us into something common, in oneness with one another, because of His name. Hallelujah. This love that we have for one another, this love that I have, it's because of Him that brings it, that it causes us to be in unity. That, listen, I want you to know that me being right is not as important as how much I love you. Like Brother Bill said, it's not as important as how much I love you. I love you more than me being right. I love my wife, even though sometimes I know I'm right. My love for her oversees whether or not I got to be right at that moment, at that time. Give it a break. I love her more than me being right. So I just want us just to surrender tonight our hearts and say, God, let me be at a place to God, Lord, that I can receive this and receive the unity and come into strength and understand that there's power in unity. Amen? Hallelujah. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. Come on, sing it out here. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, let's do it again. Reach out and grab somebody's hand. Fight my battles. Come on, lift up their hands. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. Yes. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may feel like. It may feel. Pray to God, Lord, that we recognize this and understand. Hallelujah. I don't do it alone. I don't do it by myself. Hallelujah. But I do it in oneness and strength and the power of you. And what you supplied, this is strength. This is the body. This is how I get through it. This is how I overcome. This is how I walk out of situations. It's in the body. It's oneness. It's in unity. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray to God, Lord, that we can just be strengthened with one another here tonight. Be reminded how much we need one another in the power of your name. And I will declare with all my heart that I am blessed and highly favored. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on downstairs. Celebrate with us. We're going to come into unity. We're going to have some cake. Celebrate. Amen. Hallelujah.